Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Every Movie Ever podcast. My name is Ben Groves.
And my name is Rob McFarlane. Welcome to the show, a movie podcast where we ask the important questions like chicken or the egg, which came first? Obviously the egg. Learn your dinosaurs better, my lovelies.
Maybe, but possibly the chicken. You know what I mean?
Before dinosaurs.
What, are you a scientist? I know you're a nerd, but are you into science?
A little bit.
You egg science man?
Yeah. I'm a chef.
This is the censored version of the show. Swears will be bleeped, but fear not, dear listener. As always, the full uncensored version is available early on our Patreon for as little as £1, my dear boys.
And the link to that is right below wherever you click play. So go do it, you f***s.
Go do it, you f***ing wet beans. I don't know what that means.
Me neither, but I'm here for it.
I'm here for it too, man. Let's keep it going. How are you doing today, bud?
Oh, bud, I got big news.
Hit me with it.
So I did the podcast.
I already know it.
Yeah, I know.
But hit the listener with it.
So I joined the podcast with you.
You did?
A couple of years back. And then not long into it, I put myself out a window, had a big mental breakdown, had to move home, had to retrain, stop working as a sound engineer in the music industry,
yep,
and become a chef.
Yeah, yeah.
And just rebuild, retool, get myself back together.
And you did it beautifully.
Oh, babe. And then we've been doing this podcast remotely this entire time.
Mm.
I've just been accepted for a job.
Hey.
In your town.
Hey.
I've just been accepted for a flat in your town.
Mm.
And it's happening. I'm getting back on my own 2 feet. I'm going to be an independent person again. I'm no longer living with family. The mentals are in a good spot.
Good,
the
man.
Financials are in a good spot. It's all coming up Milhouse, bro. How about you, man? How you doing?
Remember a while ago where I was like, I was in a rough one and I was like, I'm just aiming for middle of the road.
Yeah.
Like I'm aiming for mediocre, middle of the road. That's what I'm desperate for. Well, I hit it a while ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And what I quickly realized is I fucking hate it.
The thing that I have always, I've learned recently is no matter how much you push the envelope, it's still stationary.
It is. That's outrageous. That's outrageous. I would have preferred a swimming joke. Or some shapes, colouring.
Right, not a stationary
what
joke.
I've learned recently is Frosty's 10-metre badges are pretty hard to hit. You know what I mean? Something like this.
Right, okay, but not the envelope stationary.
F***ing stationary pun. Joke, mate. Unbelievable. We hit 100,000 downloads.
We did.
We've hit
we did.
100,000 downloads, which is insane. So everyone listening.
Congratulations, babe.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, darlings.
100K. We're in the 6-digit club for downloads. That's Ooh. Mental. That is mental.
Rarified air. Rarified air.
You know what I mean?
Beautiful.
This
beautiful.
Is it. I'm going to start walking around town with a ring on, just being sort of like, hi, my name's Ben Groves. 1,000 downloads, you ask? Yes, I have. Kiss the ring? And that's going to be it. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
What are we doing today?
We are spin kicking our way through Roadhouse as you try and Patrick persuade me that Patrick Swayze
Lovely.
Is in fact playing the same man across a trilogy of Dirty Dancing, Roadhouse, and Point Break. I think you're mad, but you've got some compelling points.
That's right, buddy. I do. First off, I'm going to be calling on Exhibit A, followed by Exhibit B.
Oh.
Closely followed by Exhibit C.
You going to tell us what they are?
Yes, genius. That is the whole episode. Let's get listening.
Okay, yeah, fair. I'm hooked.
All right.
So I've written the breakdown this week. It's a little bit of a straight down the middle one. Some people haven't seen Roadhouse in a while. They want to be reminded what happened. Some people never have and never plan to. Spoiler warning for you lot. But we're going to be playing around with the fiction. We're going to be saying that this guy's another guy. So I thought, do you know what? Just give the audience it straight.
Why are you being so hurtful? We're not playing around with fiction. We're educating fact.
Really fact.
Yeah.
Fact. Because I remember violently saying, your proof better be bulletproof, otherwise I'm going to be, and I quote, furious. I've seen Roadhouse now. I hadn't in episode one.
Yeah.
I got some questions for you, babe. Get into the breakdown and we'll get into your incontrovertible evidence, which is, you know,
all right,
rock solid.
I'm going to read the breakdown, not because you just yelled at me to, but because I want to. All right? Roadhouse. James Dalton is a professional bouncer working at a New York City club. Though calm and disciplined, he is haunted by the memory of murdering a man. I mean, okay.
It's not wrong.
One night, businessman Frank Tillman recruits him to clean up the Double Deuce, a violent and lawless bar in Jasper, Missouri. Dalton agrees, demanding full control over the club's operations. It's a very bold claim for a bouncer to make. You know what I mean?
Right. Also, what is this secret society of like John Wick bouncers?
Oh, there's loads.
That are just... You know what I mean?
We can play with this in a bit. I've got a question for this. I've got a thought experiment for us later.
Okay.
Upon arriving, he fires all the corrupt staff involved in theft and drug dealing. He rents a barn from a local farmer named Emmett, unaware that the mansion across the lake, I think it's a river, but we'll get into it, belongs to crime boss Brad Wesley, who rules the town through intimidation and extortion. We discover that Dalton is good with horses, which will be important later.
Yeah, yeah, don't overthink it. Keep going.
I'm going. Wesley quickly targets Dalton. Oh, I think I know where this is going.
No, you don't. No way.
Okay.
No way.
Wesley quickly targets Dalton, starting with his nephew Pat, one of the fired employees, who attacks Dalton and is swiftly beaten.
Yeah, he's got a knife shoe.
I've got
a thing for that.
Yeah, hopefully it's not a shoe. After getting a knife wound in the fight, Dalton visits hospital where he meets long-faced Dr. called Elizabeth Clay, whom Wesley also desires.
Mm-hmm.
That's the horses thing, right?
You have to see, mate. No one knows. It's a mystery.
Yeah, yeah, sound. Dr. Clay immediately throws herself at Dalton. As we said, he's good with horses. Literally the next sentence.
Who could have known? It was out of nowhere.
As Wesley escalates his harassment, he cuts off the Double Deuce's liquor supply and sends his thugs to stir up chaos. Dalton's mentor, veteran bouncer Wade Garrett. Oh, famed Wade. You know how he is.
Famous Wade. Yeah.
He's known throughout
famous
the
land. Famous Wamus, he is. He's also really fit.
Yeah. He is fit. Sam Elliott. Wade Garrett arrives to help. Wesley retaliates by torching Elizabeth's uncle's auto shop and ordering a mullet-wearing man, gorgeous, Jimmy Reno. Jimmy Reno? Is that his
Jimmy
name?
Jimmy Reno. His name. I also wrote a mullet-wearing a man, but he's a mullet-wearing man. And his name is Jimmy Reno.
Jimmy Reno? What a name. When Jimmy later blows up Emmett's home, a furious Dalton hunts him down. Sure. And murders him by ripping out his throat. Horrifying Elizabeth.
Mm.
Everything in this world is flammable.
Didn't also mention that Jimmy Reno goes to escape on a motorbike and Dalton chases him down on foot.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing you can do.
Dude, he's next to a river, not a lake. He's next to a river and it's uneven terrain.
Right, okay.
A Tai Chi ninja bouncer is going to outrun a motocross bike. You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah, fine. I forgot the bouncers are canon and according to human law, actually T-1000s. Yeah,
oh, yeah, yeah, 1,000%.
Yeah, yeah.
Wesley calls Dalton, threatening to kill either Elizabeth or Garrett. Dalton rushes to find Elizabeth safe, but returns to the Double Deuce to discover Garrett murdered. Enraged, he storms Wesley's estate, killing his henchmen before confronting Wesley himself. He overpowers Wesley, but chooses to spare him.
Mm.
As he steps away, Wesley grabs a gun, only to be executed in cold blood by the local mom and pop business owners who have decided to join Dalton's murder cult. The police arrive, but everyone denies witnessing anything. So literally nothing can be done, apparently.
No, later, that's how justice works.
That's how it goes, man. Later, with Wesley gone, the newly revitalized Double Deuce thrives. And Dalton and Elizabeth enjoy a peaceful swim in the lake. It's a river, but what's fine. All memory of him murdering a man in front of her seems to have been erased.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty accurate.
It's a very accurate portrayal. I mean, everything in this world is flammable.
It is.
You can blow up places by shooting at them.
You can.
You can blow up cars by shooting at them.
Yeah.
Some would say in a country where guns are very legal,
yeah,
a flammable car that explodes with a bullet hit is dangerous. But then you think, it's a Mercedes, so it's not designed to be driven in America. Maybe that's why it blows up. It's a strong film, Ben, one I hadn't seen before. And now I have seen it, I've only got more questions about your theory.
Yes, and I've come with more answers. I'm going to get into the theory real quick. I'm going to do a quick recap.
Okay.
The theory is that Johnny Castle in Dirty Dancing grows up to be James Dalton in Roadhouse, who then grows up to be Bodie in Point Break. They are all the same character, they're all the same one and the other. So here's a little recap. Johnny Castle, a charming, trustworthy guy with a rough side who knows how to fight, gets disillusioned with the wealthy and the upper classes at Kellerman's. Instead of chasing a college degree straight away like everyone else, he travels the country wanting to help people, practicing Ooh. Spirituality, learning philosophy, and evolving his fighting skills. He becomes one of the best bouncers in the US, but realizes his life has gone down a rough path that he doesn't want to continue down. He didn't like who he became, so he moves to California. He develops a new philosophy on life. And after the rich people of Kellerman's at Dirty Dancing and Brad Wesley in Roadhouse, he now knows two things, Robert McFarlane. One,
does he?
That he never wants to work for the man again. And two, mm-hmm. steal from the rich. And that's when he starts robbing banks. Ooh. It all tracks, is what I'm hearing the loud right. roar of people saying. And right. I get it. You know what I mean? I get
Do
it.
Do you know what? Do you know what? For the first 20 minutes of this film, it really tracked.
Right.
I was like, well, this is 100% the same guy.
Yeah.
He moves the same. He talks the same.
Yeah.
He looks the same.
Yeah.
I then realized it might be that they're just played by the same actor.
Yeah.
When he's like, I was studying philosophy at NYU and I've killed a man and I grew up in a different state and to Johnny and I've got no mention of baby or being a dancer. I don't dance in this film.
He doesn't want to be known as Johnny Castle anymore, buddy, because that life is behind him.
He still can pachanga, but he just chooses not to.
The pachanga?
Yeah.
Sorry. Because I'm classically trained dancer. I had to...
Right,
had to take a moment.
You had to correct me. It's actually the pachinko. It's a Japanese traditional dance.
Yeah.
Involves a lot of falling down.
There's loads of marbles. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Great, 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 great. Well, look, Vodka Rocks, let's get nipple to nipple. Give me your first bit of evidence.
Oh, you want some evidence going through this? Okay, I've got a bunch for this, right? Okay. It is intense evidence. So I'm going to need you to follow me because it gets pretty deep pretty quick. All right?
Okay, how about this? How about you give me your three strongest bits of evidence?
Okay.
I weigh in, and then we'll have a little heart to heart.
Got you.
And then, you know, we'll see where we're at. Okay?
I'll round it out with my least three favorite bits of evidence.
I love that. That's my best. This. That's the best way of doing it.
Dude, I bought six pieces of evidence exactly for this reason.
Love it.
God, this is why we work. This is why we work. All right, so evidence for the crazy Swayze theory. Nobody puts baby in the corner is this film's Pain Don't Hurt. So in Dirty Dancing, right? Hear me
please
out on
explain.
This one. This
right,
is a stretch.
Yeah, please explain.
Yeah, it's a stretch.
Oh, this is, okay, strong evidence number one.
Yes.
So let me just say this is a stretch. All
yeah,
right,
yeah,
cool.
Strong
let
evidence number in. One is incredibly thin, but bear with me, all right?
Right, yep.
In Dirty Dancing, when Johnny stands up for baby in front of her father and the whole resort.
Great scene.
Yeah, he refuses to let her be dismissed. He's like, no, you live your dreams. We're doing our dance. I'm going to lift you up.
Mm-hmm.
Dalton stands up for various women in the bars that he works in.
Yeah.
Standing up against the males that are causing a mischief around them.
Mm-hmm.
But in Roadhouse, Dalton has a tough yet calm approach to dealing with conflict. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Much like how our Johnny Castle handled conflict.
Right.
Choosing to sometimes walk away instead of get physical. Like the bit where he goes to smooth things over with baby's father. And baby's father turns around and he's like, get the fuck off my porch, you absolute reprobate. And rather than fight him, he just puts on his sunglasses and storms off in a leather jacket because he's
finger guns
mint.
The camera and
you know
slides
what I mean?
Out of shot. Yeah.
That's it. He left us all sopping wet.
Okay, daddy-o.
You know what I mean? It was amazing. But this is showing that he's standing by his principles that baby instilled in him.
Right.
Such as when he tells the doctor, pain don't hurt. And this is demonstrating both his resilience and his philosophical nature.
Right, okay.
This could suggest that Johnny, after years of being knocked around by life, toughened up, adopted a no-nonsense and almost zen-like attitude towards pain and hardship.
Right. Okay, let me just respond briefly.
Give it.
You know, you're painting a vision here of a wise man, a man who's lived.
Oh, very wise, yeah.
Pain don't hurt. Pain don't hurt. Mm-hmm. Great phrase. The fuck does it mean? It's entirely meaningless.
Oh yeah, it's nonsense. It's trying to shag a nurse. You know what I mean?
Right.
But that makes me love it more.
Right. No, I hear you. It's a great line. It's a great line.
Yeah.
For I'm cool as f*** and it doesn't matter if what I say makes zero sense.
Oh, I'm sorry. Nobody puts baby in a corner when she's sitting against a wall, not in a corner, only being repressed by having a lovely meal with her wealthy parents in a lovely resort.
It's actually, as we discussed, it's more of an alcove.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll go the other way. I'll say what this actually proves is he's still a moron who doesn't know how English works.
Yes.
So, okay. Yeah. It's not Pearls of Wisdom, it's Pearls of Nonsense.
Pearls of Nonsense.
Here we go.
Great band name, stealing that
Okay, nice, nice, nice. With their album Death Vessels.
Yeah. Yes, buddy. Okay, so dancing versus fighting. This is evidence number two.
Mm-hmm.
And it's down to his physicality and his training, right?
Right, right.
Johnny Castle is a dancer,
mm-hmm.
meaning that he has control over his body.
Yeah.
He has excellent reflexes and impressive flexibility.
Ooh.
In Roadhouse...
Yes.
Dalton fights with a very fluid, almost choreographed style. You know, his high kicks, his spins, his precise...
He flows like water.
He stings like a bee. See?
Yeah, flow like water, sting like a bee. That famous phrase.
Sung by Wu-Tang.
Yes. By Mahershala Ali.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But the precise movements are almost that of a trained dancer. He is like... pinpoint accurate with his like fancy ass moves.
Mm-hmm.
This could mean that Johnny transitioned from dance to martial arts and self-defense using the same agility and coordination he once needed on the dance floor. I have an example for this one.
Right.
So the fight between Dalton and Jimmy.
Yeah.
Down by the river.
Jimmy Reno.
It is a river because spoiler alert, if you haven't watched it, go watch it. Jimmy Reno gets his throat ripped out and then he's pushed out into the lake, right? But then the next shot is him very rapidly going down, like following a tide. And I'm like, that's not a lake. Unless Patrick Swayze has thrown this dead body so hard, like a skimming pebble, and he's just slowly making his way across a lake. I don't understand how this works. Physics exist. You know what I mean?
I hear you. It's a very thin lake if it's a lake.
Yeah,
it's a lake with a very directional current if it's a lake. I also have questions about, before you carry on, I have questions about the town, because the town seems to consist of the Double Deuce, the auto parts shop, and these two houses, where the antagonist and the protagonist just have sex at one another across the river.
essentially. It's open window, like...
Sex off.
Well, watch me clap this ass. And then that guy's like, oh, I'm going to get that guy. Yeah, how dare he clap that ass at me?
I don't know. I don't know the definition of a town. I don't know if it's you need a church and a phone box. But I'm just saying that Jackson doesn't seem to have those key elements. It seems to have two houses, a river lake, a bar where everyone loves fighting all of the time,
it's
and
got
a car,
the car
park shop.
Yeah, it's... got their car dealership as well, and apparently somewhere to buy a monster truck.
Right? Oh, yeah, it's got the car dealership.
It does.
We see that.
Yeah.
And it's also got a cafe that's open at like 9 a.m. to drunkards.
Yeah, it's amazing. Right. There's one strip and then some outlaying things. You're moving to Telford. Get used to this, buddy. It's essentially 12 little tiny villages and one shopping center. Enjoy that.
Fair.
From Camden High Street to Telford, you are in for a culture shock, my boy.
Your wider point of Johnny Castle having balletic moves,
right?
That can be fighting moves. I will go as far as to say that a spin kick.
Mm-hmm.
Is not too different from a pirouette.
It's just an angry pirouette. It's just, it's a mischievous pirouette. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
They're very similar. But the fight between him and Jimmy Reno down by the river, the way that they move, it's so controlled and so rehearsed. And all of his Tai Chi moves come into action like this.
Yes.
It's just, I mean, minus the throat ripping.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I don't know which dance that is. Is that Mamba? Mambo?
I've
not seen it on Strictly, is all I'm saying. I've not seen it on Strictly Come Dancing.
No, I don't think they do the pachinko on the Strictly Come Dancing, though. I think it's just, you know what I mean? It's regionalized to the pachinko.
Right, okay. It's a pachinko-specific move.
Yeah.
But that's, okay, fair.
So this is where I'm coming from. Like, trained dancer, martial artist, the sort of, like, the fluidity... tracks between the two, but it looks like there's a few years between, you know, Johnny Castle and Johnny Dalton. You can kind of piece it together however you want to, but the transition is feasible. You know what I mean?
Okay.
All right. So, philosophy and growth, evidence number three.
Right.
From idealist to realist.
Ooh.
So in Dirty Dancing, this might be the strongest point. I don't know why I've saved this till now.
Right. Okay.
In Dirty Dancing, Johnny is mad passionate, mm-hmm. super idealistic. He tries to make it as a dancer. He's very creative. He's very sort of, the passion burns strong with this one. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Despite being a poor person in his lowly social status.
Disgusting.
Which is in the dance world is outrageous. And I'm guessing in your former circles.
In mine. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Come on, listen to this voice. This doesn't come with... You know, this is expensive.
No one says bath without having owned at least one slave at some point in their life. Do you know what I mean? So he fights against the system and he still believes in love and dreams. Johnny Castle is a lover, is a dreamer, is a creative, right?
He's not a fighter, he's a lover, yeah.
Yeah. But by the time of Roadhouse, Dalton has become a more hardened realist. But he mm-hmm. still holds on to a philosophy as discipline, having studied philosophy at NYU, according to this movie. Right. This could suggest that Johnny, after struggling in the entertainment world, sought knowledge and self-improvement, eventually adopting a more intellectual, measured approach to life.
Mm.
Men's searching for faith type shit. Remember when he says that? When he's trying to bang the nurse for the first time? Pain don't hurt.
Yeah.
I studied philosophy. Men searching for faith type shit.
He's such an Andrew Tate pinup, this guy. It's insane. Oh, mate,
let's not take it down that road. He's not that far. Come on. He's macho, but he's not sort of like, you need to be up at 10 a.m. making a business. You know what I mean? There's
really?
None of that.
Yeah, okay. A little bit.
But yeah. All right. So here you go.
Okay. Now, I hear your point.
Yeah?
I have a question.
Go on.
We established in our prior episode when we covered Donnie Dancing. No, Dirty Dancing.
Donnie Dancing in the Donnie bin.
Donnie Dancing would be him, but he is a bit Donnie Dancing because in Donnie Darko, Patrick Swayze plays a child sex predator.
Yeah, he does.
And in Dirty Dancing, he plays, controversially,
a child sex predator.
A child sex predator.
Yeah,
he's a 25-year-old man dating a just 17-year-old. So we know that he's 25 in Dirty Dancing.
Yes.
Which is set in the early 60s.
1963, yeah.
Yeah. We know that Roadhouse is set in the 80s.
Yes.
So how old is Dalton?
I think there's been 25 years since 1963.
Yeah. So we're saying what, he's 50?
Yes.
Okay.
But a very young, agile 50.
Right. It's the Tai Chi.
It's the Tai Chi.
The Tai Chi really holds it in. Yeah.
The Tai Chi and being good with horses. That's what keeps you young.
It's not just for sexually confusing your landlord.
No.
Which, by oiling yourself up for no reason to do some Tai Chi in the garden.
Every reason that Patrick Swayze has to oil himself up is valid. I'll have none of this slander.
Okay.
Go fuck yourself.
Okay.
Why are we slandering this? That's the best part of the movie.
So this 50-year-old man.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Who practices Tai Chi and lives in a barn, works as a bouncer, who and controls the entire industry.
Part of a secret industry of John Wick-style bouncers.
Yeah.
All right,
tracks.
Cool.
I hear what you're saying, but let me get my evidence out, my dear boy.
Right.
So in the example that I've got here, Dalton explains to all the bouncers at the Double Deuce, he's like, be nice until it's time to not be nice. Now, this sounds like a man that's been burned by life. He's learned restraint, but he knows how and when to act. And in Dirty Dancing, Johnny had to hold back his anger when he was falsely accused of theft at the Kellermans, proving that he already had some restraint early on. And if we go back and watch Dirty Dancing again, there is so much restraint from Johnny Castle in that film.
Yes.
When the father wrongly accuses him, when he's wrongly accused of theft, when he's put down continuously, when he's treated like a cheap piece of meat, he restrains himself so much to a point, and it's all inspired by Baby. And I think that Baby put this seed in our James Dalton.
Right, okay.
I know.
Okay.
That took a sharp left turn because you thought...
I've got some Reddits. Yeah. Some subreddits.
What I'm saying is I feel like that was there, and it's a very feasible evolution mindset of someone that's been burned time and time again. Lover to fighter to philosophist.
Over the 55 years they've been alive.
You know what I mean?
Really?
Don't add years on. He's barely 50, all right?
Until he gets to Point Break, where he's a 75-year-old surfer.
Who can rob banks, yeah. Yeah, something like that.
Not to sound unconvinced, Ben.
Okay.
This is nonsense.
Right.
This is pure nonsense.
Okay.
But it leads to a deeper question.
Yeah.
Why does this matter? Because you are like You are enthused about this.
I love that you waited this long to ask that question.
I've been trusting you, and I'm like, no, he's gonna, he's this, like...
You saved this for the show. We've been planning this for a couple months. I've been talking about this idea. You've never once asked me this.
I do believe your words were, and I quote,
yeah,
let me cook.
Yeah, they were.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So what was I supposed to do?
Oh, right, okay. So you're not letting me cook anymore. You're banging the knife and fork on the table. Where the fuck is my food?
I'm at a point going... What's the dish, Ben?
All right.
What's my macronutrients here?
Okay. Because
at the moment, what we've had is we've had two films,
yes,
that are straight popcorn.
Yes.
And I've been like, what do these mean to you? And like, they're just fun. They're just fun, mindless movies. And I'm like, okay, great. So what do we have to talk about? And you're like, I've got this theory and I'm hearing it. And I'm like, this better be strong.
Right.
This better be strong. And you're like, oh, don't worry, babe. It is. And let's be fair.
It is.
It ain't.
Okay.
Like, what? Like, why can't Johnny Castle just be Johnny Castle?
Because...
Why can't James Dolan just be James Dolan?
Have you ever watched a TV series where you get so attached to the characters that you're like, when the show comes to an end, you're like, God, I miss them. I just want a little update.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Succession was
Breaking
that for
Bad.
Me.
Breaking Bad for me.
Yeah, yeah.
When it ended, I was like, God, I miss them all so much. I want to know what's going on. I hope Jesse's okay.
Yeah.
And then a few years down the line, they release El Camino. It's an awful film. I adore it because it gives me more of what I want. It gives me an update on the characters that I love and miss, right?
Yes.
So this for me. Okay, well, right. Give me one sec. When I was a kid, and I would be sitting in the living room, and it was, I must have been sort of like 5 or 6 years old.
Right.
And my mom and my dad would be arguing. Most parents do, it's fine. And sometimes it would get like a bit intense. And I'd sit there with, you know, these purple crushed velvet cushions from the sofa. Okay. Over my ears.
Classy.
And I would focus on the TV to try and drown out this stuff. And whatever was on the TV was sort of like what I became, you know, hyper-focused on. Block the world out. And this is it. These are the sort of films that were playing at the time.
Okay.
And there would be other moments in my childhood where my brother had gone to work, but a VHS copy of Roadhouse would be in the video player in his room. So I would sneak in. I would sit there. There was, just outside the bedroom door, there's like a whole world of stuff that's happening that I don't understand. Mm-hmm. I don't really want to. I just want it to stop.
Yeah.
Roadhouse is on. And then...
Mint.
Johnny Castle will come on the screen during Dirty Dancing. Dalton will come on the screen during Roadhouse. And they're these two guys that can... They stand on their own. They don't need anyone else. They don't rely on anyone else. They don't have anyone else sort of inflicting anything or like controlling anything, or there's no sort of sway from anyone else. They just are.
Yeah.
And fucking hell, rewatching Roadhouse, I'm like, Dalton might be the coolest person that I've ever looked up to ever in my entire life. And it's one of those moments where I just missed him.
Right.
And then I saw this theory and I was like, you know what? Do you know who I haven't seen in a little while? My good buddy who helped me sort of escape the weird for a bit.
So
James Dalton.
What's interesting is my primary criticism of this film is that it is exactly the sort of script that an 8-year-old boy would write.
1,000%
About a kung fu fighting bouncer.
Yeah.
But he's not an idiot because he's got a degree in philosophy and he dates this really hot woman. But she's not being objectified because she's a doctor, so she's wicked smart.
Yeah.
Like, it's...
But look at all the bad stuff that's happening to him. And he can just get up and dust it off. He gets stabbed. Pain don't hurt.
Right.
You just get on with it, buddy.
And master of his own destiny and doesn't have to endure anything. If he sees something that isn't right, he fixes it.
Exactly.
There is a super heroic quality to James Dolan.
Exactly. He has the power to change the stuff around him and stand up for the little guy.
Whereas with Johnny Castle, there is a warmth and a comfort in there. He is treated with a kindness and a respect and a care by the woman in the film, Baby.
Yeah.
And he appreciates that care and he values it as he should. He recognizes its rarity.
Yeah.
So to combine those two is a powerful, powerful thing.
Right.
And I can't criticize it now because I don't want to take the velvet cushions off, right?
Don't.
So what I'm going to do, I'm gonna nestle down.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go ear to ear. It'll get a bit sweaty, but it's all right.
That's fine.
I'll have the velvet cushion on my left. I'll have you on my right ear.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can all, and we'll just be,
you know what I mean?
A head sandwich.
Oh, I like this. I like
right?
this. I like right, the thing that okay. sold my theory. It's childhood trauma.
What can I say against it?
Yeah, do it. Right. It'll be on the internet forever. Go for it.
I do think, weirdly,
yeah,
linking them together,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have done it with the in-universe stuff.
Okay.
I'd have done it with the fact that they are the exact opposite of each other as a film.
Okay.
Roadhouse does for boys what Dirty Dancing did for girls.
Yes, it does.
Where you had dance scenes in Dirty Dancing, mm-hmm. surprisingly, you've got fight scenes in Roadhouse. It's the same level of physicality.
Yeah.
It's just in one, it's romance, and in the other, it's fighting.
Yeah.
In one, we had love and romance at the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
And in the second, we've got nudity and sexuality in mm-hmm. the forefront. Funnily enough, Dirty Dancing was made for no money and made millions and millions and millions. And Roadhouse yeah. is not a legit B movie. It was made for millions
yeah.
and produced by Joel Silver,
yeah.
who made like Brewster's Millions and The Matrix and The Die Hard, Lethal Weapon, Predator.
Yeah, he's a huge producer.
And it made B movie money at the time. It was only really on video and all this. There is a link.
There is.
There is a link.
There is.
But I'm gonna stop fighting against it.
Okay.
I'm gonna say they're the same guy, even though he would be 50.
Okay.
I think what it is
mm-hmm.
is there's a scene where he goes in to see his wicked smart blonde bimbo girlfriend, who's not a bimbo because she's a doctor. She looks at an X-ray in one scene.
Yeah.
I think he doesn't take painkillers. She's like, "Do you want some anesthetic?" And he's like, "Nah, pain don't hurt." I think he's sober.
Ooh, okay.
I think what actually happens at the end of Dirty Dancing
yeah.
is that she just goes home, holiday's over.
I would agree. I will agree. I think baby goes home to a wealthy lifestyle and forgets all about slumming yeah. it for a summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it breaks his heart and he ends up on a bad path. I think he starts drinking.
Ooh, okay.
I think he ends up on the street. I think he does a few things behind some bins to get a fix.
Okay.
And then he hits rock bottom yeah. and he goes, "I've got to clean up my act."
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes to AA.
Yeah.
And that's where he gets his philosophy from.
Ooh, okay.
That's where he begins to connect with his yeah. inner self. He realizes he's been looking outward, blaming the world for everything.
Mm-hmm.
He's not looking in. He's not seeing the need.
I like this.
You know, he's had yeah. his velvet cushions on and he's not experienced the
yeah,
world.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So then he starts doing Tai Chi for spiritual reasons.
Yeah.
And he needs a job. And do you know what? He leaves Johnny Castle behind
because mm-hmm.
Johnny Castle is everything. It didn't do it for him. He becomes a new man.
I love this.
The name Johnny Castle doesn't describe who he is anymore
because yeah.
he's not that guy anymore. He's going to put baby right in that fucking corner.
Yeah. Fucker. Forget about me. I'm a bang a horse on a roof, mate.
Exactly. There we go.
I like this.
I'm going to sexually confuse some farmers
yeah.
and bang a horse in full view of our ex.
Do you know what my favorite thing about your thought experiment there was?
Right.
You've listened to the reason that I love these movies and that I wanted to do this theory is down to sort of like weird childhood trauma and escapism. And you were like, yeah.
Yeah.
So your hero, your superhero sort of guy that you used to look up to, ended up behind bins giving head for fixes
yeah.
and then started abusing women. And I'm like, oh, that's so sweet that you've heard
Ben, what's more heroic than a recovery story, bro? He hit rock bottom and he clawed his way back up.
Dude, fair.
That I respect the shit out of that.
It makes me like him more, weirdly.
That's he's more super heroic if he's, you know.
I like to think of him more as like Johnny Castle left Kellerman's and was like, I'm going to get my Pechanga chance. I'm going to get my dance. And he starts going for like Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
And Broadway are like, you're good, but you're a wild card. And we've got too many wild cards on Broadway. It's a damn cesspit of wild cards. We need some straight shooters. And Johnny Castle, by gosh darn it, you ain't it.
Why doesn't he go to Vegas? Just go to Vegas.
So he gets on a train to Vegas.
Oh, wow. Okay, you've got
he
this.
He gets on the Greyhound bus
right.
to Vegas.
Wow, the Greyhound.
Where he tries to make it as backup dancer for who was big in 60s and 70s.
Siegfried and Roy.
There you go. Siegfried and Roy. He's trying to dance with the tigers. He's like, yeah. Yes, buddy, get me in. Watch me pirouette my way through this white tiger den. He is in Vegas. He's trying to get jobs left, right, and center. It's not massively panning out. He gets a few little eggs here and there.
Yeah, Swayze eggs.
And he's like, God, man. Money's tight. I need to I need to avoid the bins.
Yeah.
Because the bins are looking tempting. I need to avoid them. So I'll tell you what, I can just jump on the doors here. I'm built like a brick shit house. I can be a bouncer and I can fight intoxicated 18-year-olds. I can flirt with 20-year-olds.
Yeah.
And I can get paid minimum wage and feel like a king for 6 hours. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think that did it for him. And I think there he was like, that's where he really started to shine. But people were like, Johnny Castle, ain't you the guy that was pirouetting across that stage the other night? And he's like, no.
Where do you think he got his injuries from? He got mauled by a tiger at Siegfried and Roy.
Yeah, he got stabbed by a panda on the way into the Siegfried show.
It's a famously rowdy crowd.
So he's like, no, this ain't me anymore. This ain't me. I'm not Johnny Castle. I'm James.
James, yeah.
Dalton. I'm James Dalton, and I'm the doorman. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it just blossomed from there. Dalton gains his notoriety throughout Vegas. Vegas spreads to California. California across the nation.
Okay.
Known for this Tai Chi
mullet.
Beautiful, beautiful marble statue of a man who can come in, fire your staff, take over all admin control of your business.
Yeah.
And as a mate who's fitter than him. But somehow 25 years older.
It's that or he's the Zodiac Killer. Those are my two theories.
Ooh, right? That's a good one.
Because he's fond of murder.
Dude, his kill count is huge.
His kill count is too huge.
His kill count it's is more than some horror movies that I truly enjoy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He murders a bunch of henchmen at the end of this film. A bunch of them die. But now that I've got you a little bit back on board, and I've kind of guilt-tripped you into just subscribing to the theory.
Fully on board.
So I've got a few other pieces of evidence. I'm going to say evidence because we're both fully saying that it is 100% the truth right now. Because if not, you may as well just punch baby Ben in the face.
Yeah, okay. Taking the piss now, but go ahead.
Yeah, laying it on thick, buddy. Laying it on thick. Johnny Castle and James Dalton, they both have issues with wealthy controlling figures.
They do.
Dirty Dancing, Johnny is constantly belittled by the upper class at Kellerman's. He's wrongly accused of theft. He's forced to stay in the background, and he only wins at the end because he stands up for himself and baby by throwing away his summer bonus, fighting for what's right and just.
Yeah.
In Roadhouse, Dalton faces Brad Wesley, a corrupt and powerful businessman who runs the town with an iron fist. Wesley sees Dalton as a threat because he cannot control him, just like how the Kellerman staff saw Johnny as a wild card, someone that they cannot control. Someone who is always going to mouth off if something ain't right.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Wesley's goons, they go in to try and intimidate Dalton, but he refuses to back down. Similar to how Johnny refuses to back down when baby's father disapproves of him or when he's paid to leave Kellerman's.
Okay. And again, I fully endorse your theory. And
thank you.
I'm happy to say yes.
Sure.
I'm just going to add...
Yeah.
Roadhouse is very much more of like a Western remake.
No, it is. It's an 80s Western setting.
The sheriff pulls up and there's varmints illegally taxing and extorting the locals. It's Pale Rider, it's Shane, it's all that stuff, right?
Yeah, of course.
That's a sort of reasonable and just, as you said, rich authority figure for him to kick against.
Yeah.
I do feel in Dirty Dancing, the rich authority figure is a father trying to stop his 17-year-old getting banged by a 25-year-old.
We can split hairs. All right, we can sit here and split hairs all day long. But are we going to get to the bottom of this? No.
Okay. So, okay. Now, where was this attitude on the Chaplin series, Ben?
Oh, because she was 15 and he was in his 30s. That's wrong, Rob.
Right, okay. Yeah, cool. Sold, mate. Sold. Moving on.
Okay, this one is a stretch. Shut up. The same kind of best friend / mentors / inspiration, I guess.
Okay.
So in
okay, a bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
All right, Reed Richards on line one.
Look, it's thin, but it's there.
Okay.
All right. Dirty Dancing, Johnny's got a close bond with Penny, who is another dancer. She's a better dancer.
Yeah.
She's another dancer who helps him through his tough times. He looks out for her. They share a deep history. In Roadhouse, Dalton has a similar relationship with Wade Garrett, Sam Elliott's character. Wade is an older, experienced bouncer who serves as Dalton's mentor and best friend because he's a better bouncer. He takes this one person, he hyper-focuses on them, and he uses their expertise and their sort of willingness to teach as a way to better himself. So the parallels here, Johnny and Dalton always have close confidants who are a huge part of his world, whether it's Penny in dance or Wade in bar security, someone to keep him on the straight and narrow, keep him in check, and someone who is always encouraging him to hone his craft and maintain his discipline. There is never a moment where Penny's like, yeah, fuck it, cut loose for a bit. She's like, no, dickhead, learn to tango. This is what we're doing. Step, step, step.
There's not a scene in Dirty Dancing where Penny tries to aggressively bang Baby in front of Johnny Castle.
Would it have made the film a better film? It's the question that we're asking here. This is the real question.
Nothing can make Dirty Dancing a better film. It's perfect in every way.
It's banging, isn't it? See? After all the hate, I love that you're on board with this. It's my favorite
100%
thing.
100% on board.
All right. So now we've kind of been down this road, but I've written out a little thing where it's Johnny Castle's future. Where could Dalton have come from?
Mm-hmm.
After Dirty Dancing, Johnny Castle was still struggling to find work.
Yeah, we got this. I'm down with this one.
This is where it is. So he couldn't sustain that career. Takes the door jobs, ends up bouncer, loses the name.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Plus, if you think about it, Dalton feels like someone that's used to handling this kind of world. He's used to handling people knowing who he is.
Okay. I'm going to hit you with three facts now.
Give it.
And these are incontrovertible facts.
Mm-hmm.
And they may add to your theory. They may take away from
it.
Okay. I'm going to let you decide.
Yeah.
We mentioned him earlier. Joel Silver, the producer of the movie, made Weird Science, Brewster's Millions, Lethal Weapon, Predator, Die Hard.
Hit me.
Did you know he invented Ultimate Frisbee?
I did not know this, but it makes me like him more.
Right.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I was just researching this movie. I'd be like, right, okay, Ben's bringing some in-universe stuff. And there was lots that was interesting. But the idea that Joel Silver has been inducted into the USA Ultimate Hall of Fame for inventing Ultimate Frisbee.
Right.
At Columbia High School.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
I think a man who invents Ultimate Frisbee sees Dirty Dancing and goes, but what about the young lads? What if we just did the exact same film? We had the exact same relationships. We had the exact same actor, but we just tweaked the formula a little bit.
Yeah.
And made it for lads.
Perfect. Right. Perfect. All day long. Because it worked. Right. It worked.
Secondly, this was used in Police Training, causing a massive political scandal.
Incredible. Wait, Roadhouse was used in Police Training, like actual real life police training?
Americans, I'm sorry for everything that's going on with you guys right now, but I'm also sorry you live in a world where after the death of Eric Garner, famously, unfortunately, his last words were, "I can't breathe," at the NYPD, show the Swayze scene to all of their new recruits about the three rules for avoiding violent conflict. Expect the unexpected, don't instigate, and be nice.
That's fucking insane. That's actually insane.
I'm not a fan of Roadhouse, but I think it's excellent at what it does. And it sets out what it does.
Yeah.
I can see that this is your perfect film, and I love how much you love Roadhouse.
Thank you.
Like,
man.
I'm so incredibly glad Roadhouse exists so that you can watch it.
Yeah.
It's not for me, but nonetheless.
You haven't seen it on VHS. You're moving up here soon.
Do you know, I would never put it on after.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would draw a line. You know what I mean?
Right.
After a national tragedy and a police brutality incident, I might not go, I might stick Roadhouse in.
Right. Yeah. Right. The film where somebody sells kissing his girlfriend's boobs for $20.
Hey, man, everyone's got to get by. You know what I mean?
Right. And then only starts a fight when the guy doesn't kiss him because he doesn't have $20. And then everyone fights, causing thousands of dollars of property damage.
Them tits were worth it. Did you see them?
They were fine.
Fine enough to cause thousands of pounds worth of damage to the double deuce.
And this is the one that I'm most excited to tell you, Ben.
Go on.
It's a true story.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you knew. Oh, damn it.
What is it?
Damn it. It's a true story.
What you're about to tell me is a true story.
No, Roadhouse.
Oh, right. I thought you were going to carry on with something like, this is a true story. Strap
I have
in.
Got a true story for later.
Okay. No, yeah. It's like a...
It's an unsolved murder of a town bully.
Yes.
Now, bear in mind, this is the most Missouri name ever.
Yes.
Ken Rex McElroy.
Yeah. Incredible. God, that makes me so jealous. Rex.
Right. Ken Rex K.R. McElroy.
Amazing.
Was shot in front of 30 people. None of whom could name the gunman.
God damn.
They all just went, didn't see anything.
So this is my point about Roadhouse, right? When people point out the illogical mental ending where everyone just hides the guns and then goes, did you see anything?
Yeah.
A polar bear fell on me. Yeah, that was a henchman whose boss has just been brutally murdered, freshly murdered in front of his face.
Yeah.
And the only thing he can do is a shit quip. Dude, I'm telling you, when people look at that and everyone's having a little giggle, I'm like, well, that wouldn't happen. It fucking did though, didn't it?
Mm.
It did though. This is my point.
That was the moment I went, okay.
You see? Okay,
maybe truth is stranger than fiction.
This is what I'm saying. Dude, America is a mental place. Like, it is just the weirdest place on the planet. I've traveled Southeast Asia was incredible, right?
Mm-hmm.
Middle East, incredible. Like, all across Europe, incredible. America was by far the weirdest place I've ever been because of how mental it is. I had a taxi driver once say, do an American accent and order a taco. Pulled into a drive-thru and I was like, why? And he was like, I'll give you the taxi ride for free. Just for fun.
Wow.
That was just what he did for a bit of a giggle.
Okay, that's good.
Here's a British man. I'm going to pull into a drive-thru, do an American accent. And if it's good, I'll give you the taxi ride for free. I was like, I just want to go to the beach.
Please, I don't feel safe.
I don't want a Taco Bell. I would just very much like to go to the beach. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
You're very kind. Incredible. Obviously, I did it because it was hilarious. Yep. Free taxi ride, by the way.
Nice.
Yeah, dude.
Speaking of true stories, I do have a true story that I've been dying to tell.
Come on.
But I've not had any, like, there's been no film that's had a good synergy with the story.
Okay, if this is your true life account of how you once roadhoused someone.
Sort of. There's a spin kick involved.
As long as it's not a throat rip, I'm all right.
No throat rip.
Yeah, sound. Okay.
Right, it's mainly to do, the link here is bouncers. I was a bouncer for a while.
Okay.
I did a brief stint as a bouncer. I did spin kick somebody.
When were you a bouncer?
Now, firstly, let me make it abundantly clear that the party I went to, they made it very clear that the bouncy castle was for all ages.
You are a fucking idiot.
Ben, I've needed to crowbar this story in for so long, this is the best I can do, all right?
Okay.
So... colleague had a birthday party and her parents, they did like a joint affair where it was like her mum's birthday, her dad's birthday and her birthday were all being celebrated at once, right?
Yeah.
And big age gaps. So there was a lot of people and a lot of families and a lot of elderly people and a lot of kids. So they rented a bouncy castle and I attended the party under the guise of being a good friend to this colleague. But it was, I'm not ashamed to admit, almost entirely because when she invited me, she said, we're getting a bouncy castle. And bitch loves herself a bouncy castle, right?
Right.
So I get there, I start drinking. This isn't that long ago. This is like 6 months ago. It's quite a well-to-do party. She's far richer than I imagined. I thought it was going to be like a bouncy castle in a driveway of like a housing development.
Got you.
It's not. They've got like a farmhouse. Her parents are farmers.
Ooh.
They've got like four fucking kitchens. It's insane.
They're good with horses.
They're good with horses. So I'm quite shy. Mm-hmm. And my friends and I just sort of loitered like sex offenders near the castle.
Yeah.
But viewing the children with hate though. So if anything, that's the opposite of sex offense.
Yeah, it's more abuse.
We were like leering with like, fuck you, get off the castle. Because we didn't want to get on there anyway. Yeah. I digest.
You were raging against the machine. But like if they released a kid's book.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Eventually, my colleague gets on the mic because they had a PA system. The whole thing was insane.
Sure.
And she reiterated because she'd seen us and she was like, look, the bouncy castle's for everyone. It's not age restricted.
Right.
So like at that point, that's the most opportune moment. Like everyone's just heard that.
Yeah.
So me and my colleagues, we just got on it. We rushed it.
Yeah, of course.
With such joy that a few of us kind of bounced on and took flight.
Sure.
On the way, I may or may not have spun kicked, spun cucked, spin cacked.
Spun kicked?
Spin kicked a child. Yeah, spin kicked a child, but like right in the spine.
Well, their spines are tiny and kids are made of rubber and magic.
They're bendy, right. You know, so this is what we thought. I felt bad, but we all, because we all went on at the same time, we bounced and then we forgot that we would still have forward momentum. So mm-hmm. we like hit the side wall, like,
sure.
like geese painting a fucking windshield of a plane.
Yeah.
And then so the castle, which has got a roof, bends.
Okay.
And the attached roof then pulls across. Mm-hmm. And what had once been like an inviting drawbridge portcullis situation
sure.
pulls itself into like a horrifying horizontal galvanized rubber vulva.
Amazing.
Which just like winks closed like a Cronenberg-esque birth in reverse.
Sure.
So now like there's no light because the mouth is closed.
What a kid party.
Leaving like four chefs.
Sure.
And like about 10 like young... Far too young for something like this to have happened to them.
Right.
Like stuck inside an anaerobic PVC womb that's just devoid of light.
Jesus Christ.
The screaming, Ben, was so close. it was no reverb, right? It's how I imagine limbo. It's just darkness and the screams of the unbaptized young.
Just deadpan sound with yeah. no echo whatsoever.
Yeah, right.
That's horrendous.
And then finally, we managed to like get ourselves off the wall. It springs back to shape. And then we just left.
Yeah.
We just had to leave. Sure.
Happy birthday. Here's some trauma. Bye. That's amazing.
So that was when I was a bouncer. And that's a spin kick.
Yeah, that's your Roadhouse story.
I've been sat on that for so long and I'm like... Bouncy castles are not in enough films.
They're not.
Right.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we got to hear this now.
Thank you.
Yeah, this makes me...
I feel clean. I feel purged. Good. I feel... It's like a confession.
All right.
You know?
Well, I'm happy with this, man. I'm feeling pretty good about it. And I'm also glad that I've sort of guilt-tripped you into, you know, verbally...
100% true.
Agreeing for it to be 100% truth fact.
100% true. Can't wait to see what Johnny Castle gets up to in Point Break.
James Dalton. Johnny Castle's dead now.
Johnny right. Castle's dead. He's left him behind.
Exactly. Don't dead right. name Dalton.
It's Don't dead name Dalton. Mate. That's right. a t-shirt. Oh, speaking of t-shirts.
Nobody dead names Dalton. There you go. Yes.
I've got a new idea for some Patreon merch based on this film.
Mm-hmm.
We got the t-shirt up. Lovely.
We do.
I've got another idea. So there's a scene in this film where a thug enters the Double Deuce.
Yes.
With a knife shoe.
With a knife shoe, yeah.
Yeah, he's got like a shoe where he kicks the heel and a little knife comes out.
Rob, you said knife shoe. No, it's no...
Right,
there's
okay.
no sort of mysterious contraption. People are like, well, I wonder what a knife shoe could be.
An uncomfortable footwear.
Yeah. okay.
But his doctor bird, his horse doctor has just arrived.
Dr. Elizabeth Clay. Yeah.
Just won the Grand National.
Stop calling her horse because she's...
Okay.
It's so upsetting.
Okay. She does have a long face. I did keep thinking the film had switched aspect ratio. But anyway.
Okay.
She arrives and then seconds later they arrive and they're mm-hmm. like, we're going to beat you up. And he dispatches them so easily that I can only think about 20 minutes later he slips them a 50 and is like, cheers for doing me a solid.
Okay. Okay.
So I think as a Patreon, maybe for the Absolute Legends or maybe as a sale,
yeah,
I'm willing to attack the purchaser right. with a knife shoe in front of their medically trained crush.
Ooh.
And let them win.
Okay.
And I'll do like a 1930s gangster accent. I'll do all sorts. Look here, see?
Yeah.
Give me your money and your wallet.
Honestly, mate, I've...
And then they can like completely flatten me. It doesn't matter what your level of fitness is.
Yeah.
I will lose. I will make it look convincing. I'm very good at losing fights.
Yeah, but also very good at making knife shoes, apparently.
Right, mate, I'm a chef.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Fair. I've
got a new job now. I don't need the knife. I can put it in a shoe.
Just out of curiosity, dear listeners, if anyone out there is trying to bang a nurse or doctor...
Or a horse.
email us and just let us know whether beating a man with a knife shoe would help.
I'm
desperate to know.
Two blokes in a field having a fight in front of a bewildered horse. It's just got no clue why this is happening. Doesn't speak English.
Yeah, but also I think a horse would understand a knife.
Oh, maybe.
Dear listener, if you are a vet or a vet nurse, email us and let us know, do horses know what knives are? And if not, could you ask one? Thank you in advance. I'm going to wrap up this theory where we are right now.
Please do.
Johnny Castle has become James Dolan. He's progressed into philosophy. He's shed his dancing past. He's now focused on spirituality, philosophy. He's still into his Tai Chi because he's very choreographed. He's very flexible. He's very gorgeous. Delicious Swayze. Yes, please.
Swayze eggs.
And now what we're going to do, dear listener, is we're going to check back in with our dearest James Dalton. Ooh. I'm going to start calling him Johnny Dalton. I'm going to blend them together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Johnny Dalton.
Donnie dancing.
And we're gonna keep up with our Johnny Dalton in next week's episode, which is going to be on Point Break. Ooh. We're going to check in when Johnny Dalton has evolved further into Bodhi. There's a few circumstantial bits of evidence in Point Break, which sort of, I don't know whether they're like Swayze Easter eggs or like direct things, but whatever it is, it's fun universe building.
No, it's 100% true, Ben. We've decided that this episode. It's reality.
That's it. It's just right, popcorn movies being nothing but popcorn movies, and also treatment for childhood trauma.
Incredible. Or just before we wrap the show up, if you enjoyed this episode and you want to support the show, you can leave us a review. Tell a friend about us. It helps more than you know. Let us know what you think about this theory. Find us on socials. Chip in if you've got evidence for or against. We want to know. You think you can disprove this theory? Let us know. We'll fight you in the show where you can't fight back.
You won't. We'll just read your messages out loud and make an episode out of it, like a real podcast. You can support the show over on Patreon for as little as £1 a month. Guys, we appreciate each and every one of you so much, and I cannot stress this enough, because we hitting 100,000 downloads. We've sort of mentioned it earlier and moved on from it. Thank you sincerely from the bottom of our hearts, because that is insane to think that two rambling knobheads are worthy of 100,000 downloads. It makes no sense to me. But honestly, it's probably the proudest achievement that I've got to date, and I've got to do it with you, my best mate.
Babe, same.
And it's literally, it's fucking incredible. Thank you so much. Seriously. Next week, we're going to be doing Point Break. Go and watch the movie now. Because it's worth it. It's incredible.
Get
it in your eyeballs. It's fantastic.
Fire your gun up in the air and go, ah.
Keanu Reeves on a surfboard. Get it in you.
He peels the skin off chicken.
It's so weird.
It's a weird. It's got Nick Nolte in it before he cared so much about buttered sausage.
What? That's Gary Busey.
Oh, Gary Busey. So they are quite interchangeable. Nick Nolte and Gary Busey are quite interchangeable. I get them confused all the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. This is a weird way to end. Guys, thank you so much for hanging out. Been an absolute pleasure. We love and appreciate all of you. We'll see you next week.
We really, really do. And to thank you for spending an hour of your week with us, especially at the start of the week. We know a lot of you listen on a Monday. Ben is going to wrap up this week's episode, the thoughts, themes, and feelings of this film, into a Monday motivational pep talk. Rating. What are we rating the film? Fat 10?
Oh, yeah. Rated. Obviously Fat 10.
Yeah, it's a 7.
Fuck off.
While I just tell you to consume.
Listen, right, if there's one lesson that we can take from Roadhouse, it's that throat ripping is an effective way to get laid. All right? Like, this, Dalton has throat ripped two men and gotten away with both of them. The sheriff in that town arrived at a fresh murder scene. There was a body in the lake no more than 100 meters away of Jimmy Reno. All right? And Jimmy Reno was missing his throat. Dalton then swims in Jimmy Reno's grave with a naked horse girl, bangs her.
Oh, I've not considered that. They're swimming in a crime scene.
They're swimming in a grave.